All right, this morning, we're going to continue with our Holy Spirit series. So what we mentioned is that this month we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit. Two Sundays ago, we looked at who the Holy Spirit is. We saw how the Holy Spirit worked through people in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament before the birth of Christ. Then last week we looked at the Holy Spirit and the believer, how the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer and how he walks through the believer. So we looked at that. Today we're going to be looking at the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So we'll start by looking at what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We'll look briefly at the 9 manifestations, or I'll call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If time permits, but I'm not quite sure we'll get there today, we might get there next week. We'll look at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through us, through you and I. Then we'll look at what the Holy Spirit is doing now. So that's what we're going to look at. Now, before I start, right, I just want to dispel some preconceived ideas that we might have. And this is what I've found quite a lot. And that idea is the fact that most often when you are talking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes what comes to our minds is maybe what we see on Christian channels, where you see one anointed man of God, and you know that person is in a special position. Probably the person, you know, went to heaven yesterday, goes every evening, and the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is reserved for them, but not you. So that's the opinion we have quite a lot. Well, I've had that opinion in the past. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that before I start to talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is this. If we have that view, then of the workings of the Holy Spirit, that is just for a reserved few, for people who are maybe apostles, you know, and then what that means is that we will not embrace these gifts or these manifestations as the Bible says we should. And it would just be like, you know, we're ascribing those gifts or those things to other people, you know, aside from ourselves. And, you know, one might think, and you might look at yourself, I might look at myself and say, well, you know, we're not, you know, things, how should I explain this? The atmosphere here is not charged. We haven't done praise and worship for 2 hours. And, you know, there are not 2,000 people here. And, like, everybody's all charged up. And that's how, when, you know, one can really manifest the gifts of the Spirit. But that's not accurate. It happens in those kind of environments, which is great. But God wants us to understand these gifts and realize that they work, and they can work through any Christian, anywhere, anytime. And you and I are not exempt, and so simply as well. So that's why I just wanted to touch base on, to say, let's, whatever opinions we have, let's put them aside for now and focus on what the Bible says. So if the Bible says something, let's embrace it. Let's forget about what we think about how things should be or what opinions we have, and just focus this time on the Bible. All right? Agreed? Deal? All right, so what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. There, Paul says something. He says, now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. So the first thing Paul begins to address here is that, look, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I don't want anybody to be ignorant. I don't want you guys to be ignorant at all. Now, why did he begin with that? I would probably think he began with this because I'm realizing now that I've been quite ignorant about these gifts, and I still believe that a lot of us have these preconceived ideas, and that's why I made that little speech at the beginning. So Paul is saying, first of all, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. So that's the first thing. So if you and I are not flowing in the gifts and allowing the manifestations, it's probably because we don't know how it works in us. And sometimes when it works in us is often by chance. We're not expecting it. Do you understand? So that's the first thing he addresses. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be knowledgeable about the fact that these gifts exist, and not only that, that they can work through us. Now, let's look at same 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, looking at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, secondly, Paul goes on to say, look, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the common good. So God wants the believer, God wants the Christian to benefit from the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He wants everyone to benefit from the gifts. Do you understand? So that's the second thing. Now, how would we describe the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I'll put it in this very simple way that I've put here, and this is my definition. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit working through a believer. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit working through a believer. Mind you, I didn't say through a pastor or through a prophet, through a believer. So what that means is that for anyone who is born again, first, and who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's for you. All right? It is for you. Now, why am I saying this? The thing is that, okay, if I just backtrack a bit, in the Old Testament, the way the Holy Spirit worked on people or worked through people was that, they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside them like we have. The Holy Spirit will come on them. So if you are a prophet, the Holy Spirit will come on you. You would, prophesy, and he will just let you be, so to speak. In the case of, we saw people like Samson. Let's look at Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to 6. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to 6. So still looking at the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will just come upon someone. They will get the job done and they will go. Let's look at the case of this man, Samson. He's quite a popular man. It said, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. So we see here that something arose. Well, we know about Samson, how God had chosen him to be a deliverer for Israel. But he didn't have the Holy Spirit 24/7. He had the Holy Spirit when things occurred that required the manifestation of the power of the Spirit. So it says here, a young lion suddenly appeared, and the Holy Spirit just, came upon him. He tore the lion apart, and that was it. There's some other, if you follow the story of Samson, there are a lot of things that he did, and he only did those things because the Holy Spirit just came on him physically and left. Do you understand? Now, it's different with the New Testament. The Bible tells us that Jesus made a promise to us when he was leaving. In the book of John, we don't have to turn there, John chapter 14 and 16. And he said, look, I will send you another helper who will be with you, and he will live and he shall be in you. Do you understand? With you and in you. So what that means is this, and if I can just say this kind of allegorically, we are as a believer who has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. That means the same way Jesus did things, performed miracles, heard from God, and all those things while he was on earth, that's the same way that we carry the Holy Spirit with us. So it's like the Holy Spirit is in us and he walks through us. What that means is this. It's just like saying that if, because this is the physical realm and God has put us in this physical realm, God needs us to touch people. He needs us to work through people. Do you understand? So the way I would imagine it, the way I would describe it is that the Holy Spirit, for example, wants to talk to someone down the road. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to your neighbor. The Holy Spirit wants to heal your neighbor or your friend. Now, because of the restrictions that God has put on himself, God will not appear to that person in the spirit and just talk to them. He could. Jesus appears to people, but that's not the norm. What God would want to do is get a Christian who has the Holy Spirit and communicate with that person one way or the other, or organize things around that person so that they go to that person, talk to that person, and the Holy Spirit can now either heal them, talk to them through that person that is a believer. Do you understand? So it's like God is depending on us to carry him around, if I can use that. Do you understand what I mean? So the Holy Spirit is in us. The Bible tells us, we don't have to turn there, in Acts, that Jesus went around. We don't have to turn there. I think it's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. But don't turn there. That Jesus, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he went about doing good. So Jesus went about in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll look at some other things as well. So what happened in the time of Jesus was that Jesus was God on earth, God in heaven, but he left his deity in heaven. So he left his power in heaven, but he was still God. And he depended on the power of the Holy Spirit to do things on earth as an example to us. So what Jesus did was that he had the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit descended on him, but he left all that power and he depended on the power of the Holy Spirit to do things here on earth. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, we don't have to turn there, that that the things I do, you can do also, even greater things. And what Jesus was saying was that it's not that we're going to become superhuman beings, no, but that because the Holy Spirit will be on us and we'll be carrying the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to do the same thing he did. Because it's the same way that he had the Holy Spirit, although he had the Holy Spirit without measure, you know. But we have the Holy Spirit in measure because we're human. But the same way we can go around with the Holy Spirit, so to speak, and the Holy Spirit works through us. All right? So when we're talking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is that the Holy Spirit is in us and he manifests through us. He works through us. Do you understand? So what that means is this. The Holy Spirit is in every born-again person. And the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, will run through some of them, can work through every single individual. All nine. Now, why am I saying all nine? All nine because the Holy Spirit is in us. So if the Holy Spirit wants to talk to someone, right, prophetically, and you're the one there, and you're conscious, he will speak prophetically through you. If the Holy Spirit wants to raise the dead, now I'm not saying if you want to raise the dead, it's different. If the Holy Spirit wants to raise the dead, and you're there, and you've been born again for 2 weeks, but you understand the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can raise that dead. Or let me say, the Holy Spirit can raise that dead through you. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Some people might say, I have the gift of prophecy. Some people might say, I have the gift of word of knowledge. Now, really, if I describe that, the reason why, and again, this is my own interpretation of it, the reason why you think you have the gift of word of knowledge, the reason why you think you have the gift of prophecy, and maybe not the others, is because that is the one that you're used to. That is the one that you're comfortable with. That is what you have the faith for. So if, unless God just, you know, the Holy Spirit just overwhelms you because that situation is so desperate and he raises the dead through you, or he does something that you're not used to. But normally, the Bible says that we should prophesy according to the level of faith that we have. What that means is this. If you and I can remove all these premonitions we have and just believe that, look, and learn how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he can work any of the gifts through us. Do you understand? That is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I was reading one article about the Holy Spirit, and this guy gave quite an interesting analogy. And he said that, look, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is like you have a light bulb. All right? That light bulb can manifest light. Do you understand? So if, for example, you are in this room and you can see that there's light there. Now, what you're seeing, you might not see the light bulb. Do you understand what I mean? Because the light bulb might be, you know, in the ceiling somewhere. But you're seeing the light that that light bulb is generating. That light that that light bulb is generating, if I use the analogy, is the power coming from that light bulb. Do you understand? So the light in itself is not the light bulb, but it's the manifestation of that light bulb. So the same way that the Holy Spirit is in us, the manifestation of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is made visible through us, through these gifts working through us. Do we get that? So that's what the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is. I just want to try and make it as simple as possible for us. It's something that I'm still, you know, looking into as well. But I'm beginning to see that it is really that simple, I'm telling you. Now, do you have to pray and fast for it? To be honest, I don't think so. But there's some things that one needs to be aware of. And I will look at those things next time. How it can happen. All right, so that's the manifestation of the Spirit. Let's look at the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'm using the word gifts and manifestation interchangeably. But I think we should stick to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Because I think it's more descriptive of what the Holy Spirit does rather than gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'll use manifestation because the Holy Spirit can manifest through you in different gifts. So, do you understand what I mean? As he wills. Now, the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The first one we'll look at is the word of wisdom. So I'll run through them. There's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, supernatural faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. I'll give us a list later. Now, today, I think we'll just look at a couple of them because of our time. The first one we want to look at is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Now, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 3 to 11. The word of wisdom. We'll look at the scripture, then I'll just describe it. The word of wisdom. John chapter 8, verse 3 to 11. This is the scenario where a woman was caught in adultery and they brought her before Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, we caught this woman red-handed in adultery. What should we do? And I'll read. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and live. Go now and live your life of sin. That's King James says, go and sin no more. Sorry. So we see a scenario here where the word of wisdom was used. Now, what is the word of wisdom? Word of wisdom is supernatural wisdom that God gives at a specific time for a specific purpose. It is not wisdom that one has from reading the Bible. It is not wisdom that one has from experience. Do you understand? It's just a wisdom that comes to address a particular situation there and then. Do you understand? Now, in this scenario, we see that these guys try to put Jesus the Bible says they try to trap him. Now, how did they try to trap him? They said, Moses said we should stone this woman. They knew that if Jesus had agreed for them to stone the woman, then it would have been slightly against what Jesus stood for. And when I say what Jesus stood for in the New Testament. You know, he says he came to save the lost, not to condemn people, and some other things. So this was to trap Jesus because they wanted to swing public opinion. So it was the case of like, let's see what Jesus is going to say. We've got you today. If you say we shouldn't apply the law of Moses, that means you're saying you're breaking the law of Moses, and you've told us that you came to fulfill the law, not to break the law. That's one trap. If he did that, then where's the mercy of God that you're saying you are, you know, putting forward? So it was a tight situation for Christ. But what did he do? He stooped down. Do you understand? He stooped down because that was a very tricky situation. And he came for that particular situation with a word of wisdom. Did I say knowledge or wisdom initially? He came with a word of wisdom. It was a supernatural wisdom that it was like, you know, how do we do this? There's another part in the Bible, we're not going to turn there, where they came and they said, who should we pay tax to? Do we pay tax to Caesar? You know what I mean? And again, what they were trying to say was they wanted to catch him. So if he said, don't pay tax, they'll say, this Jesus man is a lawbreaker. If he says pay tax, there's another implication. And he said, give me the coin. Whose head is on it? Give unto Caesar what is Caesar. Those kind of things were words of knowledge. It wasn't something, if I could say that it was from experience, it was just God-given wisdom. Did I say word of knowledge or wisdom now? I don't know. It was instantaneous wisdom. Do you understand? Instantaneous. I remember, you know, just trying to apply this to my life, you know, sometimes. And it's normally at work, actually. When I'm stuck trying to do something and I can't just figure it out. I've Googled, I've searched, nothing is happening and I'm stuck. And there are times that I'll just say, you know, God, I need help here. I need to understand this thing. And not all the time, but oftentimes something will just drop in my mind. And suddenly, I will understand exactly what to do. Do you understand? It will just suddenly occur to me that, hang on, this is how I should do it. Do you understand? Because at those times, I know that I've been quite, you know, quite desperate times, and you don't want to get the sack. So there are times that people will come to you, or things, situations will arise that the Holy Spirit in you will, if we're conscious, the Holy Spirit can give you understanding what to do. Now, this is different from wisdom that one gets over time. You have, you know, as you walk with God, you become like God in terms of, you know, you become wiser, so to speak. But no, I'm talking about specific wisdom for a particular situation that arises like that. Word of wisdom. We'll look at the next one, and I think this is where we might stop for today. And it's the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. John chapter 4, verse 16 to 19. Word of knowledge. John chapter 4, verse 16 to 19. Now, what is word of knowledge? Word of knowledge, again, is knowing something, getting information about something that has happened, something that is happening, or something that is going to happen in the future, not by from any human source. All right? Now, Jesus, the background to John chapter 4, verse 16 to 19, Jesus met a woman at the well, and he was evangelizing her, and they began talking, and he now began to tell her certain things that there's no way he could have known physically. He says, he told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. The woman now said, sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. There was no way that Jesus could have physically got that information. Do you understand? It was supernatural information. That is word of knowledge, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible is written for examples, right? And these things can work through us. I remember that, you know, in the early days as well, we'll be talking to apostle. And the best time that, you know, we used to have with apostles, when we go for all these conventions, maybe in Gloucester or somewhere, and the meeting is ended, then we'll now sit with him from like 10. There are times there was once I was going to Birmingham, and I just told Dickness that, look, I'm not coming back today. I'm going to stay there, because when we sit down with apostle, we're not going to leave till 2 in the morning, because people are asking questions and he will tell you. And he will tell us certain things, like some people will come to him and he will know exactly what has happened to them. In fact, some of them, he'll say, don't tell me anything, let's just pray. He'll tell them why they came, what they came for, and what the solution is. So I was like, this is incredible. There was once I asked him in New Cross, one day I went up to the apartment, and I sat with him. I said, it was quite an odd way of asking. I said, how are you the way you are, sir? How are you like this? And he smiled. And he said, well, look, the reason he's like this is because, and maybe many people are not like he is because we don't really know Christ. Not because we don't fast, we don't pray. We don't really believe Christ. Do you understand? Well, that's by the side. So, word of knowledge. And this is when I'll talk with them, I'll stop. Now, in my own personal life, I've experienced word of knowledge often. Not as often as I would like, amongst all the other ones. Word of wisdom, maybe once in a while, but word of knowledge, often. I remember there was once, I'll just, give some examples. And, I'm just giving these examples to us to show us that, look, it's as simple as, it's not complicated at all. So it's not like I'm trying to make it seem like, I'm hip or whatever. No, I'm just using it as an example. I remember there was a time I was sitting with my wife. It was some years ago. We were in the living room. And suddenly, like a thought, like a flash came to me. And there I saw, this was like that in the morning. We were in our house just talking. And I saw suddenly my friend's wife. And the thing that I saw, she was waving her hand like this. And she said some other things. I said, this is strange. What does this mean? It's like, this is quite, I said, what I'm going to do? I'm going to call that my friend and tell him what I saw. And at the worst that he would say is like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. And I called him up. And I said, look, I said, how are you? How are you doing? And, I just gallivanted a bit. I was like, in my mind, should I tell this guy something or should I just say, okay, bye? Because I was like, this is like weird. How about if it's not related to anything? And I said, okay, I'll tell him. And I said, by the way, I saw your wife and she was waving her hands in the air and this was what she was saying. The guy, there was a pause. He said, what? You know what? Hold on. Let me just go and call my wife now. And he gave her the phone. And I told her what I saw and what the scripture that came to me about, you know, what would happen in terms of just, you know, I told her exactly. And he now said, thank you. She said, thank you. He now took the phone and he told me that, will I believe that his wife was going through so much trauma the night before? I don't know what happened. And he was just praying that God, this night, the night before that, God, is there something that you can do to convince my wife that this? And I called in the morning. All those things that God, I told them, that I believe God showed me, it now happened. So she, you know, she was very happy. Then years, about 1 year later, all those things happened. Do you understand? But I had to take it. I wasn't in a worship service. I wasn't singing. I was eating that day. It was just a, pardon? We perform spiritual activity. We were praying. So that happened. I remember again, there was a church that we went to. One of my friends, a pastor friend, says, look, he's going on a weekend. Please, can I just preach? So I'm just giving this as an example. So it's not like far-fetched. So it's like, and he says, oh, can you just, you know, come and preach? And as I was preaching, I was like, God, show me something. And suddenly I just saw in 2 seconds, the picture of someone with their leg, you know, I don't know how to describe it. And I said, you know, in Jesus' name, that person whose leg is this, you know, and, you know, I just, well, at least I've said whatever, you know, I just packed my bag and this lady came to meet me. That, do I know that? Her dad, who came, I think they're Eastern European, her dad came from to visit them in London, and that his leg was actually paining him, the left leg, or I don't know if it was right calf. I said, really? So they were blessed. There was another time as well that there was someone that used to come to this church before. And again, I was, you know, come like we're in the service now, but I'd seen something that someone wasn't feeling well. They had like something in the middle here. I don't know what it was. So I said, on 2 Sundays, I said, you know, this person has this, you know, God will heal you in Jesus' name and all that. But the person didn't say anything. I said, well, no problem. Then later, some months later, we're now talking about visions that people, and she now said, I don't know, maybe she wasn't used to that kind of stuff. She now said that, do I know? Because one guy was saying, okay, he doesn't believe in this one. Hello. So one guy was saying that he doesn't believe in visions and all that. And, you know, he's one of these like really conservative guys. So she now brought it up that, do you know that, you know, when we were in church the other day that you said so and so, and that I hadn't told you, so she knew, and that happened. Do you understand? And it was just simple. I remember there was a student that we had once, and about a couple of years ago, it was in UWE, I think from Singapore or something. And we're in the service and we're talking like this. And again, in just a flash, nothing, you know, it wasn't like anything special, in just a flash. And I saw that someone had like a pain there on their back, just shoulder blade. And again, I just said, you know, as we pray normally, that person that has the pain in their shoulder blade, you know, God will heal you in Jesus' name. Simple. And the guy was so shocked. And he came after the service. Like, how did I know? I said, how did I know what? That he had the pain. I said, I didn't know it was you. And that happened to him. I remember, if I use an example here, I hope you don't mind. Same thing, we're in a service as well. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're in a service. And again, I saw that someone had like a silhouette. And on their left jaw, like a kind of like a toothache. And again, you know, in Jesus' name, that person that has a toothache and all that, you know. And that was it. And lo and behold, you know, I was going. And my daughter, she's smiling. I can use that. And she came and she tapped me. Did I know that she had a toothache? Apparently she had told her mom the night before, but I didn't know. So I said, oh, so it was you that had the the toothache, because I just saw a silhouette. Do you understand? There was another one as well. The reason why I'm giving all this is because it is so simple. As I mentioned, it is so simple. I'll give one more, then we'll There was another one as well. A long time ago, this couple came to visit the church and all that. And before then, I saw, like, in types, I saw that it was like a patched ground, very dry, like a desert patch land. And out of that patch land, there was like a little plant coming out of that patch land, like a flower. Do you understand? Coming out. So I said, that's interesting. What does that mean? And my mind went to them, but I didn't say anything. At the end of the meeting, we just prayed and I said, okay, you know, there's patch land and, you know, the flower is going to grow and all that. You know, it's a rose and all that. And we, apparently, it was them. So I think for her, this couple, I think they'd been married for a while, maybe about 7 or 8 years, and they'd been trying for a child and they hadn't. Do you understand? So when that came, I was like, how am I going to tell? You know, I'm sure I just, in my mind, what came to my mind is that maybe they've given these people a lot of prophecies. I don't want to add and just, you know, complicate matters. So I just, you know how it is when you just coded language and say, okay, and all that, and just, you know, leave behind. And guess what happened for them about a year later? In fact, when we went out together and I noticed, they didn't tell anybody. So I said, oh, how is your wife? Oh, she said, she's tired. Okay. So I said, he now said something, and I said, oh, I noticed that she's... She said, how did I know that they haven't told anybody? And I smiled. Do you understand? I said, I pay attention. I said, yes, I pay attention. What I'm saying here is this. The Bible says that in the gifts of the Spirit, every Christian, not pastors or prophets, has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can work through you and I. And there's no ceremony about it. It's just, again, removing all the premonitions, removing all the preconceptions we have that is only, you know, when you're shaking in a meeting or when you have to, you know. No, not at all. The Holy Spirit wants to work through each and every one of us. He says for the good of every single person. Do you understand? So we're going to end there today and we'll continue next week.